The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Josh Krossauer, of course, senior writer, the politics editor at National Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at Hotline Josh. Also a great podcast, which I listened to for the first time this week. Josh, where do people find your podcast? You and the pollster were great.
Oh, yeah. We had Kirsten Soltis Anderson on, who one of the best guests we've had on the show. But you can go on iTunes, Stitcher, and pretty much any place where you download your favorite podcast. You can find the search for Against the Grain, and you can get it up on the podcast.
Against the Grain is a great podcast. We ought to add it to the townhallreview.com link lineup. Let me talk to Josh about first the big news of the morning. Bernie Sanders is running for president. This is hardly news, and I kind of think he's last year's flavor of the month. But what do you think about Bernie?
Well, I think this is going to be a much different experience than the underdog insurgent campaign he ran in 2016 to much success. There's a lot of the Democrats are now running in Bernie's image. They're running with similar messages to Bernie Sanders' 2016 campaign, and he doesn't have that sort of Democratic socialist space to himself. There's a lot of folks competing for that same territory, most significantly Elizabeth Warren from his neighboring state of Vermont. So, you know, I think it's going to be tougher for Bernie.
So let me ask you about Trump campaign. It announced today Tim Murtaugh is director of comms. Kayleigh McEnany is the National Press Secretary. Mark Lauder as Director of Strategic Communications. What do you make of those three names?
Well, look, it's a pretty good team. You know, I think they're going to be focused on the digital side of things more so than they even were in 2016. And you can see the kind of the basis of the campaign message in trying to attack Democrats for embracing socialist policies like a Green New Deal, Medicare for All. That's going to be the line of attack that Trump is going to be going after in 2020. So, you know, they're going to be building upon that staff, but it's going to be a lot different than it was in 2016.
Now, last hour I read most of Victor Davis Hanson's American Greatness essay, which ricocheted around the web yesterday, Autopsy of a Dead Coup. VDH is an eminent historian and classicist, honored as such by his peers at Stanford for many years, now at Hillsdale, and not the sort of person that you shrug off. He's never been a big Trump guy, never been a big anti-never Trump guy. He's just been a historian and a classicist. This is a pretty damning indictment, Josh. What do you make of it?
You know, I didn't see his book, and I didn't don't want to comment before reading what he has to say. But you know, he's definitely someone who's worth paying attention to.
All right, let me move to my issue of the morning. Over the weekend, I was doing the math. The new Senate convened on January the 4th. It is now February the 19th. They have not confirmed one judge. Not one judicial nominee got a vote in the last 6 weeks. There are 12 appellate nominees, no votes. 46 district court nominees, no votes. Scores of vacancies without a nominee at the White House because of either White House personnel or the White House counsel or the Office of Legal Policy or the FBI slow background. This is a total collapse of Mitch McConnell's greatest achievement. I don't know what's going on. I know the leader wants to get it done. What has happened?
Well, I think one clear thing is that the White House and the Senate have been preoccupied with trying to prevent the government shutdown and trying to make sure that Trump's, the border wall crisis was dealt with. So I think that's taken up a lot of bandwidth from both the White House and the majority leader. Judges, I mean, Mitch McConnell wants to be judged by how many judges are in the courts by the time his tenure ends. So this is a big issue for the majority leader. But it's going to be challenging if there are other crises that pop up that distract the White House and the Senate from dealing with the judicial nominees.
You know, I talk to Republicans all the time. I gave a speech last week. I'm doing another one this week to Republican groups on the West Coast. And they always ask, why does the Senate go home when you've got nominees that could be filling the Ninth Circuit, where, by the way, the challenge to the border wall is going? And there are three Ninth Circuit nominees that could be eligible to hear that appeal if the Senate would get off its collective hands and confirm them.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I think even President Trump has mentioned quite a bit in the past. But, you know, ultimately, you have to go through the process. Ultimately, this has been a pretty busy week for the Senate, and you know how many vacations the Senate often likes to take, you know, during the year. So, I think this is now that Trump, you know, we've passed a bill that funds the government, all of the government for the next year. I think you'll see some more attention being paid to the.
Well, Lindsey Graham is a friend of the show. And I've invited him on a lot of time. He hadn't been on yet in 2019 because he knows I'm going to hammer him on this. He likes to be on TV talking about the FBI and about the malfeasance at the FBI, and that's important. And he cares a lot about Syria, and that's important. But he took the Judiciary Committee gavel, and that means he took from Chuck Grassley a very rigorous system for bringing nominees to a vote. Do you think he just doesn't care enough about this?
Well, Lindsey Graham, as head of the Judiciary Committee, you think it would be a top issue of his. You're right. He's been talking about other issues, namely the FBI and border security. But Lindsey Graham has a primary is up for re-election in 2020. Judges have always been a major issue for the Republican base. So I can't imagine he's going to basically sit on his hands and not confirm or not go through the process of confirming the Trump nominees.
Yeah, you know, I support Lindsey's reelection, but the only way for him to get beaten is by somehow disappointing his base and drawing a Trumpist, someone who's even more supportive of the president, and Lindsey's been pretty supportive of the president, so I don't see that happening. But the easiest way to get reelected by a lot is to get a bunch of judges nominated and point to your record. It's not much to get an attorney general confirmed. It's a lot to get the circuit courts filled. Let me finish by talking about the UN. I asked Drucker about this earlier. He said the two leading names are Richard Grenell, our current ambassador to Germany, or Robert O'Brien, my friend, former law partner, who I know very well. I can't see the special envoy for hostage affairs beating out Grenell if Grenell wants to do it, unless the president wants to keep Grenell in Europe. But either Grenell or O'Brien would be good. Who do you expect to be nominated?
Well, I would add Ambassador Kraft of Canada also to that short list. But, I think that the challenge is confirmation. I mean, that was one reason why Heather Nauert, wasn't officially nominated, because I don't know if there would have been 50 votes. Even a lot of Republicans were having concerns about her. And Grenell, I think that would be a tough confirmation fight. The question is, does the president want a fight like that in 2019. But I do think that the numbers are going to come down to whoever the president nominates is going to be whoever can get nominated. And I think Nauert, because of her inexperience in the diplomatic realm, just didn't have the votes, didn't even have a whole lot of support on the Republican side.
One of the arguments I heard over the weekend for O'Brien is, I heard one that I always hate, identity politics. He's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so there aren't any high-profile Mormons in the Trump administration. There really aren't. Can you think of one?
Not off the top of my head. No.
And so the Mormon vote in places like Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada is incredibly important. And they have no high-profile nominee. So that, I heard someone say, they ought to go with O'Brien. I said, look, he's my friend. I know him. That would be a great appointment. He would be easily confirmable. But Rick Grenell is gay. And so having a gay UN ambassador also becomes quite a calling card. Do you really think there are three? It would require four Republicans to say no to either of those guys. I can't imagine finding four to say no to O'Brien. And I really doubt there are four who would say no to Grenell. I really think it's up to the president on this one. Your thoughts?
I'm more familiar with Grenell's record, and I think the president may actually want him in Europe, where he's, as ambassador to Germany, is really kind of enacting Trump's worldview and really speaking tough to the Germans when it comes to dealing with Iran, when it comes to a lot of other administration priorities.
So, I did hear that yesterday, that Rick has become the de facto ambassador to Europe, not just Germany, but like the rock star of American diplomacy, who is known to have the president's ear. His former boss, John Bolton, is the national security advisor. Rick was his spokesman at the UN. And Mike Pompeo listens to. So I think maybe that's why he doesn't get to move. But they got to get someone at the UN pretty soon, don't they?
Well, I was going to say, let me throw another name out there that I've heard from a few sources. Kelly Ayotte, the former New Hampshire senator who was close with McCain and Lindsey Graham, who was a very hawkish internationalist in her time in the Senate.
She's terrific. She's terrific.
She would get the votes. Now, I don't know if her style meshes with the Trump administration's, but she's someone who would get the 50
votes. And it might help New Hampshire in 2020. I think right now the map becomes an overlay on every question. Is it, you look at the Electoral College map and you look at how you put the pieces together. You need some Mormons for Arizona, Colorado, Nevada. You need someone from New Hampshire for New Hampshire. You got to look at Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. These are the issues that overlay everything. Josh Kroshauer follows everything at Hotline Josh on Twitter for the National Journal. Thank you, Josh.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.